Thank you, Brother Mike, for that wonderful testimony. It was awesome to hear the Lord working in somebody's life, let you know that the Lord can still work in yours. Amen.
Yes.
Let's start out with prayer tonight, and then I will do my best to be quick. It's already 6:45, so you don't have to turn around and look at what time it is, but I'll do my best to cram a one-hour message into 3 hours. So if you will pray with me tonight, we'll be as quick as we can. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that it is to be here tonight. I love being in church. Lord, there's no better place, in my opinion, to be. Lord, I wish there was a day that we could walk that road in Israel, the places that you've been. I wish there was times that we could go where you've gone. Lord, I'm so thankful that we have a future of being in a place where you're always going to be. Lord, thank you again for this church and what they stand for. I thank you for all the preachers that come through here and give us the Word of God. Lord, please, always anoint this church with the true Word of God, the King James Bible. Lord, help us. Help us to always look to you. And Lord, as always, let me decrease tonight. Let me decrease to nothing. And let you increase to everything. Come down tonight in a special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is The Greener Grass. The Greener Grass. If you'll all stand with me and turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 10. Verse 10 in Genesis 13 says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, for the Lord before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, I thank you. Lord, please bless tonight and come down in a special way, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You read about Lot, the first thing that you think of are some of the things that he went through, but I want to back up just a little bit. If Lot was given this choice, I want to show you a verse in here. Turn back to verse 6. Lot was given a choice. And if you look at verse 5, the Bible says, "Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a little strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." Why in the world did Lot leave Abraham? They left the land together, two men that had a substance that was obviously too much for this land to bear. And I want you to think with me for a minute, because Lot's problems start after Lot separates from the preacher. Understand something. Abraham is a big one in our faith. He's a big one. He's a biggie. And I'm going to tell you right now, if it was me and I was walking with Abraham and I had the opportunity whether to stay or to leave him, I would hope that I would choose to stay. But I want you to think with me for a minute tonight. Why in the world did Lot decide what we're going to separate because we can no longer walk together? I believe I've got it down to three reasons. One is wealth. Think about this for a minute. Would you be willing, and you may look at me with bad looks here tonight, and that's okay. Would you be willing to give up a promotion to stay at Bethel? Would you be willing to give up a job that would give you another zero on the end of your paycheck so you could stay in the church that God has called you to? The question labors itself to say, hey, why in the world would Lot leave when he knows he's walking with God's man? He knows he's side by side with God's man. How do you know that, Brother Dave? Well, it's very simple. Would you leave not knowing where you're going unless you believed you were following God's man? Because when Abraham left, he had no idea where he was headed. But Lot left with him saying, you know what, uncle, I'm going to go ahead and cast all my lot with you because I believe that you know what God wants for my life. There's no other reason why you'd leave. But Lot left. So wealth, the decision that I am not going to give up everything I have, because let's face it, if he gives up everything he's got, Andrew, he can stay. Because the strife that they have is not between Abraham and Lot, mind you. It's between his wealth and Abraham's wealth, because the land can't support them both. If it's up to me, I give up everything I have to stay in God's will. If it's up to me, I don't care what. And you may say, well, Brother Dave, that's easy to say because you haven't been put in that position yet. Understand this. I don't have to be put in that position. I don't ever want to get to that position because I promise you this, I am going to do my very dead level best to stay in God's will as opposed to making a lot of money. Everybody's got money, some more than others. But understand this, money's a common thing. Money's a dirty thing. The will of God, not everybody has. If you can do one thing for your life tonight, make sure you do not let money come between you and what church you go to. Don't let money come between you and standing with the man of God. Don't let wealth come in between you and serving God. Don't let wealth come in between you and reading the Bible. Don't let wealth come in between you and making church services. Don't let wealth come in between you and doing God's will. Because I've got news for you. Wealth only lasts for a time. Second thing I saw was strife between the brethren. Now, if you read these verses, the reason that they couldn't be together, and I won't take time to read all this, but the reason they couldn't stay together because the brethren couldn't get along. That is such a sad testimony. It's a sad testimony when people, grown-up people, cannot get along in a church. It's a sad testimony when two men of great means and people that work together with them, listen to me, you are all co-workers here at Bethel Baptist Church. There is not one person that's bigger than anybody else. There is not one person that's greater than anybody else. We're all herdsmen here. I find it sad. What a sad testimony that these people all came out of the same place. These people are all doing the same thing, serving to the same capacity, yet they can't get along. And that strife led Lot to split from the preacher. I love how quiet it is. Either I'm dumping a golden egg right now, and you're going to meet me in the parking lot later. Understand this. Don't you ever let somebody run you out of church.
Amen.
Listen to me now. It's hard enough to work in this world without church. It's hard enough to work in this world in having things helping you along in your spiritual life. Don't ever try to do it without a local, independent, fundamental Baptist church. And I said Baptist, and I said local, and I said independent and fundamental. You can go to all sissy-wissy churches you want to. You ought to go to a Baptist church. Understand this. Brother Brian, if you ever make me mad, I ought to do my duty to let you know that so we can figure the strife out so we can end it. One of the saddest testimonies is that you can't work a problem out between grown men or grown women. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Well, I'm so mad at Brother Dave right now, I think I'm going to turn around and walk out. Glory to God, there's a door, brother. I hope it hits you on the way out.
Amen.
We've got to understand something. We've got to make God more real to us.
Yes,
we've got to make God a better priority in our life. We've got to make God somebody that when he says something, we hear it. When God speaks in this church, you can't help but feel the Spirit come down. Why in the world would you let that be squelched? Because you can't get along with Bob Shell.
Amen.
Why don't you become a man and tell people how you feel instead of storing it up like a sissy? Lot's herdsmen couldn't get along. Bless God, there's a great gulf fixed in between, and we can't sit across each other from the aisle. We're going to have to go. So Lot splits up with the preacher. I'm going to tell you right now. Until the Lord tells me, I'm not leaving the man of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Until the Lord tells me. It's amazing how many lords people have.
Yep.
Well, the Lord told me because I can't get along with Jack Dollar that I better move on.
Yeah.
I can't sit in church because I'm uncomfortable. Well, we've got padded pews. Feel comfortable. I'm not going to leave the man of God until the Lord tells me to leave the man of God. Because if you look at Lot's life after he left the man of God, did it go well or did it go badly? It went badly. It's amazing to me to think that the brothers couldn't get along. Another thing was compromise. Abraham, well, we don't want to have a strife between us. And Abraham said, I tell you what, you choose where you'd like to go. I'll take whatever's left over. Lot says, well, I'm looking out and I see a really nice, beautiful building over there. And I think that no matter what that church is, no matter what they preach, I know they got a bass guitar and some drums in their church. I know they got a preacher that doesn't wear a tie in the morning. I know that we've got, sometimes ladies get up and preach. I feel the daggers. I know that they sometimes do things a little bit different than everybody else, but it seems like it's, no, I'll go ahead and go over there because it seems like it's a little bit more laid back there. So Lot takes off from the preacher. And then the Lord comes down and speaks to Abraham and says, hey, look to the north, the south, east, and west. This land I give to you. Just waiting for something to happen. Lot chose the greener grass. Lot chose the place that would suit his wealth. Lot chose the place that would suit how he felt. As long as he could break away, as long as he could be on his own, as long as he couldn't resolve his differences, he might as well have the nice place to go. Understand this. Don't ever let things that you can see separate you from your preacher. Don't ever let things that you can touch separate you from the man of God. If you let that happen, you're leaving for the wrong reasons. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Unless you are called to a different church from a promotion, you're leaving for the wrong reasons. I don't care what you tell me. You mad? Oh, I found a great job. I found this. I found that. Hogwash. Unless you're moving up into ministry, you ought not be moving out of here. Because the truth is preached here and this is where God brought you. You have a problem? Blame God. So Lot leaves the preacher. Lot should have stayed with Abram. He should have forgot the money. He should have forgot the greener pastures. And he should have stayed with the man of God. Here's a question for you. Another church may make you feel better. But will it make you be better? Will it make you be better? You may not like some of the things that are said from the pulpit, from the preachers, the various preachers. Not just me, preacher. Brother Mark doesn't... Various preachers that come through here, you may not like what they say, but understand this, they may help you to be better because they preach the Word of God here. It may make you to be better because there's certain things that you can't detect. There's certain things that you can't see that the man of God sees. There's certain paths that you don't see coming in your way that the man of God sees. And he wants to warn you and he wants to tell you, not because he hates you, not because he wants to kick you down, because he loves you. And I guarantee you, if Lot could have changed it, he would have stayed with the preacher. He would have stayed right where he was at. We all know that there are many problems that Lot faced. He faced war. As soon as he moved there, he faced a big war. He faced captivity. Then he faced rescue. He faced impending judgment when the angels came down. He even went so far as to offer his daughters to queers. He offered up his daughters to queers. These angels came and said, oh, no, you can't have the two angels here, but my daughters who have known no man, you can go ahead and do whatever you want to with them. Does that sound right to you? Does that sound like things are going well for Lot? He chose the greener pastures. He chose the better places to go for himself, for his eyes. He thought, there's no preaching there. There was no preaching there. The wife ended up being turned to salt, and he lost several family members because of the choice to leave the preacher. But I think the worst of all these is found in 2 Peter. Would you please turn to that right now? 2 Peter. I just want you to see this, and I'll be all done. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that after should live ungodly. Listen up, America. Listen up, America. Sodom and Gomorrah was made an example to those that live ungodly. You take a look around today, Jack. You've got nothing but ungodly all around us. This place was left as an example for us. And delivered just Lot. Now listen to this. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Listen to this verse. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The word vexed means this, to trouble or distress, physically or mentally. And the word that fits it best is torment. Every single day he was tormented. Every single day they got after him. Every single day being surrounded by evil. Every single day seeing things that you ought not see. Every single day he was surrounded by these people doing evil, doing the things they ought not to. And it vexed his righteous soul. It vexed him. And he lived with it day after day after day, surrounded by evil, being vexed. But I want you to see that verse. He wasn't vexed because he was doing them. He was not vexed because he was participating in their sin. He was not vexed because he went into the bar. He was not vexed because he was a homosexual himself. He was not vexed because he held hands with men. He was not vexed because of the things that they were doing and he was helping them to do them. He was vexed because he saw them and he heard them. Don't tell me that it doesn't affect you when you hear evil and see it every day. Don't tell me that you listen to your garbage music every single day and it doesn't affect your soul. Don't you tell me that when you look at pornography on the TV today, and that's what it is, preacher, we see pornography on the TV every single day. Don't tell me that it doesn't vex your righteous soul. If it doesn't vex your righteous soul, get saved. Amen. We live in a day where we are surrounded by this. You better not separate yourself from the preacher. You better not separate yourself from your church family. You better not separate yourself from the will of God, because understand this, there's no one out there that's going to help you. Lot lived in a place where no one helped. Lot lived in a place where no one cared. When he told his son-in-laws that impending judgment was coming, they looked at him as one that mocked. You know why? You wouldn't whisper the word of God in Sodom and Gomorrah. You wouldn't whisper the word of God there, because if you did that, you'd suffer persecution. Hey, what's amazing to me is this. We cannot wait to run out of this church building after service. We cannot wait to run out to the world to see what the world has to offer for us. We cannot wait to get out of here. And you probably are wishing right now that Brother Dave would button it up. But understand this. There's nowhere better for you to be than in God's house. All we've got is each other. That's it. You get outside of this circle, you don't know what you're going to get. You get outside of this circle, you'll get people that support the queers. You get people that support, they're all over the place. Go down to Bath and Body Works with Josh, he'll show you. I'm going to tell you right now, we live in a day and age where God is a cuss word, even when you say it nice. We live in a day and age where if you're wearing a suit and tie, you got to be in charge because nobody else is wearing one. I'm going to tell you right now, folks. We live in a day and age where the people are choosing the greener pastures and leaving the will of God. And it's vexing their righteous soul. I got a question for you. Why do you feel bad day after day after day as a Christian? Why do you feel bad? Why do you get depressed? Why do you get upset every single day? Why? I have a question for you. Is your soul being tormented with what you surround yourself with? Is your soul tormenting you because you can't turn off the liquor commercial that comes on? They are funny, but they're vexing your soul. See, it used to be a great thing to preach against sin. It used to be a great thing to preach against the things that we are living in today. But understand this, the vast majority of preachers won't preach on sin anymore because they're worried about losing their church people. Understand this, I'd rather lose you to Satan than give you to Satan.
Amen.
You get mad all you want to, but if you're a Christian, your righteous soul's being vexed. And if you want to feel better, go back to the man of God. If you want to feel, here's a question for you. And it's only been 15 minutes. I'm almost done. Almost, I said. This amazes me when I got to thinking about this whole story. This amazes me. His righteous soul was vexed, Bob, day to day. Day to day. They were so queer there, everybody was doing it. When you run a lynch mob to go get some men to come outside, you got some problems. You might laugh, you might get mad at me, but I just do not like you. I love people, but queers give me the willies. And they give you the willies too, if you'd be honest. You say, well, you ought not talk about the queer. Hey, nobody's got more right to talk about than I do. I'm understanding this. If he was vexed day after day after day after day, day after day after day after day, day after day after day after day, day after day, preacher, why didn't he leave? Why didn't he move out? If it's that bad, why are you staying? If it's so bad in Sodom and Gomorrah, why did you have to wait for the angels to come to destroy the city before you decided, maybe we ought to pack our bags, hon? You know what? These two men came down, seemed like they were pretty powerful. And I just got to believe that they mean what they're talking about. They said, fire and brimstone. Our city's going down. I can't find righteous 50, 40, 30, 20, or 10. And we are in trouble. I can't get this city saved no matter what. Not that I've tried. But understand this, honey. I really think we ought to pack out. Did that ever get said? Where's that in here? The angels had to come and say, you know what? You better get out. You better get out. If you don't get out, you're going to go with them. Let me tell you something. If you're caught up in the world right now, if you're caught up in alcohol, if you're caught up in pornography, if you're caught up in drug use, you better get out now. You better get out now. Because understand this. He was vexed daily. Now listen to this. I love this next verse. He was vexed daily from day to day with their unlawful deeds. But look at verse 9. I love this. All Lot had to do is pay a little attention. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver thee. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Understand this, bro. If you're getting in trouble, God can help you get out. Yeah. All you got to do is ask him. Where was Lot? Lot was stupid. Now I'm going to stay here with the fags. They're good people. Understand this. There are no reason for you to stay there. There's no reason for you to be with those queers unless you really don't want to serve God. Boy, that one was a bomb. Because if you stay in the world and you search out the greener pastures, maybe you don't want to serve God. Maybe you really don't care about the Lord. Maybe, just spitballing here, you care more about yourself than you do about the Lord. Because my Bible says that the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And all we've got to do is ask him. All we've got to do is say, Lord, please help me get out of this temptation. Deliver me. Because I can't seem to get out of this predicament myself. Yet Lot kept his mouth shut. He lost his wife. Obviously lost everything he had that was there. Lost some of his family. And got to witness a city be destroyed. He wouldn't get out. Folks, I've only been in the ministry a short while. But I've seen so many get so involved with the world that they never even think about asking God to deliver them. They never even crosses their mind, Andrew, that they might be doing wrong. And even though the righteous soul is vexed, they seem to get this great ability to ignore their soul. They seem to get this great ability to ignore what is being said to them by the Lord, and they just seem to go ahead and say, I'm going to stay where I'm at because I'm comfortable here. Everything seems to be working fine here. I've got a lot of means, and I seem to be an important person here. I mean, Lot sat in the gate, so obviously he was an important person, probably a good-looking fella. Yet, his soul was being tormented day after day after day. He never sought out God. Christian, I want you to review your life for a minute. I want you to think with me, and usually your Sunday night crowd is a crowd that is a little closer to God than most. When is the last time you reflected on yourself and said to yourself, am I doing what the Lord would have me to do? And I'm talking about the simple things. As Brother Sells said, reading your Bible, are you doing that? And by the way, Brother Gray didn't say one verse. He said one word. Yeah. One word. I don't care if you read the word and. If the Bible's open, it's powerful. Yeah. Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you taking time? And I'm not talking about the prayers that are uttered usually in front of all the people where you say five-syllable words. I'm talking about words that you know when you're talking to your friend. You say, well, that's not revering the Lord. Hogwash. He knows exactly who you are. You coming to talk to him makes him happier than anything you can imagine. When's the last time you talked to him? When's the last time you researched yourself and said, you know what, I probably should have been in church. I probably could have been there. I wasted 34 years of my life, or however many years you said, I wasted those years. When's the last time you checked yourself, you know what, I wasted that day. I could have been closer to God, but instead I decided to be closer to the things I wanted to be close to. Because that's where it rises and falls. Understand this. When Abraham said, Lot, you pick. Lot picked. He wanted to, with a determined decision, pick the greener grass. He said, I'm going to go over here to the greener grass. Uncle Abraham, you can have whatever. I want this right here. And he got what he wanted. He got exactly what he wanted. He wanted to go to the den of iniquity. He wanted to be with those people. And there he stayed. How do you know he wanted to? Because he never left. He never left. Understand this, Christian. I love every single person in this room. I have a pretty good relationship with everybody in here. I know a little bit about you. But I don't know how you feel inside. But God does. And he knows that you are going to have to make choices in this life. You've got to make them. And there's going to be a time when you are standing here saying, should I stand with my preacher? Listen to me now. I'm not talking about going to the building. I'm not talking about raising $100,000. There's going to be a day. Should I stand with my preacher and read my Bible? Should I stand with my preacher and pray? Should I stand with my preacher and care about the people of Bethel Baptist Church? Should I stand? Or should I take greener grass over here? Because I can't get along with the brethren and I'm too rich. Not talking to a lot of rich people here, I understand that. But because I know if it's me, I don't want to go to Sodom. I don't want to go to Gomorrah. I don't want to go where the wickedness is. I don't want to go where the badness is. I don't care if I have to live in a desert. I want to live there with God's man. I don't want to worry about where I'm going. I just want to worry, is God going to be there? Because if you don't, your righteous soul, that soul that the Lord made righteous by saving your sorry skin, that righteous soul is going to be vexed day after day. It's a choice. It's a choice that you have to make. Lot made the wrong one a few times. But understand this. God knows how to deliver you. All you have to do is ask. Amen. Folks, get out of the world. The Bible says, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Amen. Come out from among them. Lot never acted separate. He never lived a separated life. He lived the life he wanted to live. Are you living the life that you want to live? Or are you living the life that God wants you to live? Don't worry about the greener grass. Worry about your vexed soul. Get out of the world. Get out of the world and go be with God for a while. You want to see great times? You want to see grown men cry over their testimony? You come over to God for a while. You'll see grown men, big men. I wouldn't fight him in a minute. There's no way. Good Lord, have mercy. I'd run. Fast. Earth than you. But you see him caring, loving, helping. On the other side, he was fighting, drinking, chewing tobacco. How much better is it over here? How much better is it over here?
Amen.
How much better is it over here? I want to live in the world. No, you don't. It's so much better over here. Take your dirty rock music and throw it out. Come over here. Take your alcohol, pour it out. Come on over here. Take your drugs and snuff them out and come on over here. That's a good song. Take your drugs, snuff them out. Come on over here. Take your alcohol, snuff them out. Come on over here. Say, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, you want a good, clean living. You want to do something great for God, then get out of the world and come on over here. If Lot had to do it all over again, he wouldn't have chose the greener grass. He would have chose serving God. He would have chose staying with God's man. All the wonderful things he could have seen. Staying with Abraham. I love these people. I'm going to bail out of Bethel if something doesn't happen soon. You dirty dog.
Amen.
You dirty dog, I hope you stay away. Because when this building goes up and all these great things happen, that God's already doing great things in this building. What side you're on, but man alive, how many people we got to baptize before you get happy? How many people got to get saved before we get excited around here, amen? I like this big fella. He came down the Bastry smiling. Look at me saying, you're going down, little fella. I'm grabbing a hold of you and pulling you down in with me. Porter's giving him $20 bills as he's walking down the thing. You pull Brother Dave down, you baptize us both, we'll be happy. I like that happiness. I like seeing people walk down the steps with big smiles. I like them coming up saying, glory to God. I like seeing people get saved. I like seeing people get baptized. I like seeing people join the church and all that in one day, glory to God. I love seeing people be happy in church. I love seeing people love each other inside this church. And glory to God, you're not going to get that outside these doors, brother. That's only right here. You leave the will of God, it's your fault. God didn't want you to leave.
Right.
Preacher didn't want you to leave.
Right.
If you leave, it's your fault. Don't worry about the greener grass. The grass is not greener over there.
Yeah.
Worry about your vexed soul because the Lord knows how to deliver you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity it was to preach. I love these people with all my heart. Lord, I honestly never thought that I could get this close with people that weren't my family. I never thought that. Lord, I don't ever want to leave God's people. I love God's people. I'm so thankful that you gave me a shepherd to look out for me that loves God's people. I'm so thankful that you gave me a preacher that cares about people. I'm so thankful that you put me in the midst of men that love each other and care about each other. I'm so thankful that you put me in the midst of a man like Mike Sells who's willing to come up here and tell you about his life and his iniquities. That gives me heart and gives me hope that we're doing the right thing. We're looking to you for everything. We don't care how green the grass is. We're going to stay right here in your will. We don't care how beautiful the lights are on the other side. We're going to stay right here and do your will. Lord, help us to always look to you and help those that need to be delivered. Help them to be delivered. Prick their heart to look to you tonight and look up to heaven and say, deliver me, because you know how. Lord, be with us tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.